Welcome to the House of Harris.
Welcome to the House of Harris podcast. I'm Heather Harris.
And I am Senor James Peligro Harris. Peligro means danger.
I kind of got that. Thank you. I'm so glad you're here to translate, though.
How are you tonight?
I'm good. Tired, but I'm good. How are you?
Great. I got my energy drink, and I'm ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
What's our story on tonight?
Hold on. Getting a little ahead of yourself.
Sorry.
First, you need to grovel to our listeners and apologize for how absent you've been lately.
I already did that in the last episode.
I know, but you need to do it more. And you need to apologize to me because I love the podcast, and you made me wait like 4 weeks to record again.
But we're back now.
I know.
So?
Better not happen again.
That's not all my fault.
Or your middle name is not going to be James Danger Harris anymore because you're going to be dead. James Dead Harris.
James Dead Harris. Okay.
Dead and buried in the backyard. Harris.
They'll be looking for you.
They're going to look for me anyway if something happens to you.
That's right. It's recorded on the internet that you've threatened me
multiple times.
Pretty
sure it's recorded in many places.
So what's our story?
Tonight, our story is on, and I apologize in advance for anything that I pronounce incorrectly this episode because some of this stuff is Russian places, names, etc. So I think that the way you say it is Anatoly Yurvik Moskvin. How do you think I did?
Close. Good.
Yeah. Okay.
I think.
Well,
I think
for. For this episode, we're going to call him Moskvin because that's going to be the easiest for me to say.
Anatoly's not easy.
Anatoly's easy. Yeah, I guess Anatoly is easy. Would you prefer me call him Anatoly?
Yes.
Okay. So, yes, episode 12 is on Anatoly Yurvik Moskvin. What is the one thing that freaks you out more than anything in the world?
Carnies.
Okay. Have you ever actually met a carny?
Little hands.
You've never met a carny, though. Why would you even say that?
Dolls.
They're not even around anymore. I wish they were.
Dolls.
Dolls?
Yeah.
You say? Can you imagine a house full of dolls?
Nope.
That actually turns out to be dead children that were made to look like dolls.
That would be the worst thing I could possibly think of.
Can you imagine walking into a house after locking somebody up for some suspicion on some freaky shit? And you walk inside the house and there are these little tiny dolls everywhere. Well, I wouldn't say tiny. They're child size.
Human sized dolls.
Child size. Human sized dolls. Children. Sitting on shelves, laying on the couch, propped up in a corner, with clothing, with makeup on their faces. They're creepy, covered, some paper mache looking colored, some stocking covered with lipstick.
I really don't like
children's clothes.
Going.
Can you imagine 26 of these?
No.
Scattered throughout your home. Well, in 2011, this happened.
Did it?
It did. In 2011, a discovery was made that showed just how weird and strange some humans can really be. We all need hobbies, and some of us may have strange ones. I have a tiny obsession with Victorian-era postmortem photography. There's something so beautiful about those old photos. You don't really have any weird hobbies. I mean, Ghostbusters doesn't count, because it's not a weird hobby. Plenty of people are obsessed with Ghostbusters.
That's true.
Do you have any weird hobbies?
None that I can talk about on the podcast.
But one man's obsession with children and dolls took on a whole new level of creepy. When I first read about this story, I automatically assumed this dude had some weird fetish for children or dead people.
Right.
But as you'll find, there is no necrophilia in this story. Just a crazy, fucked up dude.
Wow.
How do I say the name again?
Anatoly?
Anatoly lived in Nizhny Novgorod, Russia.
Russia.
Sorry, it's like the Soviet Union, Russia.
Okay.
He loved history, spoke 13 different languages,
wow,
traveled all over, and taught college-level studies. Very smart guy.
Sounds like it.
However, he was kind of strange.
Kind of strange?
A little bit. He had told others that he began wandering through cemeteries with friends when he was still a schoolboy. In particular, he visited the Krasnaya Etna Cemetery located in the Leninsky District. In an article written before his arrest, Anatoly attributed his interest in the dead to a childhood incident during which he witnessed a funeral procession for an 11-year-old girl. Mm. He said that the participants in the funeral forced him to kiss the dead girl's face. Writing that, an adult pushed my face down to the waxy forehead of the girl in an embroidered cap, and there was nothing I could do but kiss her as ordered.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
That's what he said happened.
I don't know about that. Why would they do
know.
It's just some people random kid.
People are weird.
Walking through the cemetery and
you never know. Come on. People are weird.
Kiss our little child.
I don't know. That's what he says happened.
Okay.
That's where it all began.
We'll take his word for it.
After he graduated from the philological faculty of Moscow State University, Anatoly became well known in academic circles. His main areas of interest were Celtic history and folklore, as well as languages and linguistics. Anatoly had a deep interest in cemeteries, burial rituals, death, and the occult. You could also say that I have those weird obsessions.
I was going to say, that's like not normal, but it's not necessarily...
I'm interested in all those things, but I would never do this.
It's not necessarily a sign that he's, you know, not a normal
stable
person.
Stable individual.
Yeah.
He kept a personal library of over 60,000 books and
wow.
documents, as well as a large doll collection.
Oh, yeah. Large doll collection.
Yeah. Previously to the dead
oh,
dolls.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, previously.
Okay. I was going to say, large as in size, large, or like a lot of dolls?
A lot of dolls.
I don't like this guy.
Fellow academics described Anatoly as both a genius and an eccentric. As an adult, Anatoly led a secluded life. He never married or dated, preferring to live with his parents. He abstained from drinking alcohol and smoking, and is purportedly a virgin. Anatoly occasionally worked as a journalist and regularly contributed to local newspapers and publications, describing himself as a necropolist. Anatoly was considered an expert on local cemeteries in the region. Anatoly stated he felt great sympathy for dead children and thought that they could be brought back to life by either science or black magic.
Oh, science
so he was
or
into black
magic.
Magic too. Yeah, yeah. Either way.
So he's basically just Russian Frankenstein.
Pretty much.
Was Frankenstein Russian?
Frankenstein's the actual monster. You mean Dr. Frankenstein?
Yes, Frankenstein is not the monster.
Okay, yes,
that's I
know. That's what they
monster.
Call him. Okay.
So, he was born in Italy. Oh. He's Italian.
Okay. So glad we know that now.
Italy, Swiss.
As an expert on Celtic culture, Anatoly learned that the ancient druids slept on graves in order to communicate with the spirits of their dead.
Sure. Sounds
yeah.
like...
Tense.
Like a good Saturday
Not
night.
Something I would do, but yeah. He also studied the culture of the peoples of Siberia, in particular the ancient Yakuts, and discovered they had a similar practice for communicating with the dead.
In particular, the Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
No.
No.
Nope. Uh-uh.
That wasn't a good one?
Nope.
All right. I tried.
Right time of year, but nope. He began searching for obituaries of recently deceased children. When he found an obituary that spoke to him, he would sleep on the child's grave in order to determine if the spirit wished to be brought back to life.
And the spirits did not say, get the fuck off my grave, they said.
No, they said, bring me on back. Well, supposedly.
Yeah.
Anatoly claimed he had been doing this for around 20 years and insisted that when he began... He never dug up a grave without the permission of the child inside the grave.
Without the permission?
Yeah, so he got their permission first. As he grew older, it became physically painful for him to sleep on the graves, so he began bringing the bodies home where it would be more comfortable to sleep near them. He hoped the spirits would be willing to speak to him in a safe, welcoming home, and that they might be easier to hear when they were no longer underground. So that's why he started bringing them home.
Okay.
Okay.
But without their permission.
Well, he got the
permission later.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, it's better to ask for forgiveness than it is to ask for permission.
Yeah, isn't that one of your mottos?
Yeah, and Drake's.
After exhuming the corpses, he researched mummification theories and techniques in an attempt to preserve the bodies. He dried the corpses using a combination of salt and baking soda, and then cached the bodies in secure dry places in and around cemeteries. Once the bodies dried, like, he wrapped them in stuff.
Like, nobody noticed that there were just some random bodies laying around?
I guess not. I don't know. Oops.
Is this like a Weekend at Bernie's situation where people just thought people were just, like, chilling out on the bench? And they were just trying to raise it up?
Yeah. Once the bodies dried, Anatoly carried them to his home.
It's like beef jerky. It's like you got to put a human dehydrator.
Why do I feel a commercial coming on? Once the bodies dried, Anatoly carried them to his home, where he used various methods to make dolls in an attempt to give the children functional bodies to be used when he eventually discovered a way to bring them back to life. Oh. Feeling that their physical remains were too decayed and ugly for them to feel comfortable or happy.
It's all about their feelings.
Yes.
He's like DIY cryogenics. He's like,
exactly.
I'm just going to mummify these bodies.
Right.
And then when the science catches up, they can come back to life.
Yeah, they'll be ready.
Yeah.
Chilling in my house.
Exactly. I mean, with it all weird makes perfect makeup sense.
On. Yeah. Especially to a schizophrenic.
Yeah. Meanwhile, they're probably looking like...
Have you seen the pictures?
I mean, yeah, but I don't know what they look like underneath.
I don't think you want to know.
I don't want to know.
And I'm sure they don't smell very good either.
Some Freddy Krueger shit going on under there. Probably worse.
Have you seen a decaying body?
Yeah.
And the worst is that it's a child.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah.
It's funny that he like cases this in like altruism. Like, oh, I'm doing them a favor.
Right.
But nobody would want that.
No.
And like the parents of these children have to be like devastated. Horrified and like,
yes.
That's got to ruin. Like if that happened to my kid.
Because it's already awful that your child died.
Exactly. You've already lost a child. And then to find out they've been dug up and been kept in someone's house.
Right.
For God knows what reason.
Which means they can't rest.
Exactly.
I mean, if you believe in that.
Much I don't, but still.
But you should, because yeah, seriously, when you move somebody's body, it's...
That's some bad juju going on there.
Yeah.
Okay, continue, please.
Jesus is going to get you.
Probably.
He should probably come get you, actually. Smack some sense into you. Unable to prevent the bodies from withering and shrinking as they dried, he would wrap the limbs in strips of cloth and stuff the body cavity with rags and padding to provide fillness, sometimes adding wax masks decorated with nail polish over the faces before dressing them in brightly colored children's clothes and wigs. Some of them even wore knee-high boots.
Fancy.
These details made the bodies appear to be larger homemade dolls, which prevented their discovery.
So, sidebar real quick.
Mm-hmm.
He's a grown man
that
lives with his parents.
Yeah, I'll get to that too.
Okay, we're not there yet, but he's basically a recluse, or a hermit.
Yeah.
And people did not think that it was odd that he's buying children's clothes.
He probably went to the thrift store. I'm sure they have thrift stores.
Yeah.
People buy all kinds of stuff.
I'm just amazed
or maybe that he was getting them from somewhere.
I'm amazed that he got as far as he did without anyone discovering him, digging up the graves, sleeping on the graves,
putting the bodies back out there to dry,
drying out the bodies, you know, the whole thing, like bringing them back home. How did he like transport
buying
them
abundance
from
of clothes.
His house to the grave, to the back, to the, like, I don't know. Like,
yeah.
Do they not pay attention at all there?
It's Russia.
Yeah.
Weird stuff happens, I'm sure.
Yeah, but isn't there like, isn't Russia one of those countries where they have like cameras everywhere that like monitor you, like Big Brother and stuff?
Maybe.
I don't know. I feel like somebody was just like sleeping on this.
Yeah, totally. Because he did it for a while.
It sounds like it. I mean, you don't just make $23 in a week.
Yeah. It was unclear if each doll contained a full set of human remains. In some of the dolls, it was reported there were music boxes stuffed in their rib cages.
Jesus Christ.
Supposedly, there were other toys in some of the dolls so that they would make noise when they were touched.
No. I'm liking this less and less. He's just making some squeaky toy humans. I don't like this.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? Why would you want a dead body to make noise?
You don't. Again, a sane person would not. He was not sane.
He's acting like, oh, I'm just going to bring these people back to life at some point when I can, except that all their organs have been removed and replaced with squeaky toys and music boxes.
Yeah. I also want to point something out that I actually didn't write down, but I read about.
What?
That he reportedly was very lonely. And I told you he'd never been married. He didn't date. But he really,
obviously
really
he didn't date.
But he really wanted a child. So he actually went to a orphanage, a Russian orphanage, and tried to adopt a child.
Yeah.
They would not let him adopt a child because he didn't make enough money. That was
sad.
Like the one thing that, the one stipulation. So he wanted a kid and he wanted to take care of a kid and they would not give him one. So instead.
Yeah.
These weird delusions started and he got his own kids. Essentially, he went and made his own. He made his own family, which, yeah, is sad. But again,
so it's
mental illness.
Again, it's sad. I do feel for him in that sense. But you don't go like all Build-A-Bear on a graveyard.
Okay, what the fuck? I cannot believe you just said that. Oh my god. Jimmy. Sometimes you get on my nerves and you don't do what you're supposed to.
Yeah.
And you're lazy.
Yeah.
And I want to kill you.
Yeah.
But then other times you say stupid shit like that. And then I'm like, oh, that's one of the reasons I married you. Anatoly was aware that he was committing a crime, but he felt the dead children were calling out to be rescued and believed that rescuing the children was more important than obeying the law. Anatoly has denied any sexual attraction to the dolls and instead considered them to be his children. He spoke to and interacted with the corpses, sang songs to them, watched cartoons with them, and even held birthday parties and celebrated holidays for their benefit.
Well, that's nice. He's just a family man.
Yeah, he's a family man. Anatoly was arrested on November 2nd, 2011 by police investigating a bunch of grave desecrations in cemeteries in and around his neighborhood. Investigators from the Center for Combating Extremism discovered the 26 bodies in Anatoly's flat and garage. So, 26 bodies.
26.
Ranging from ages 3 to 25. So, yes, there were some adult dolls. Even though he has said that he has exhumed at least 150 bodies.
Yikes. What happened to the rest of them?
I don't know. But that was in multiple sources that I found.
He put them back like they didn't want to be his children
anymore. I don't
know.
Maybe he had a little secret lair somewhere.
They went off to college? He's an empty nester now.
No. No. You're having way too much fun for this episode. This one really creeped me out. It was very dark.
So the only reason I'm making so much light of this one is because it's really freaking me out.
Is that why?
First of all, I don't like dolls. I don't like dead children. And this has both.
That's true. But he didn't kill the children, though.
That is a good distinction to make. He did not kill the children.
He did not.
So that's,
and I know,
like,
that you're very sensitive to stories that have children that die. God.
Yes. I can't deal with a child
get
abuse.
Get real mad when I try to watch a documentary about
it. No, I can't.
Something like that.
That's a major trigger for me, is anything to do with harming children. So, but this is, like you said, they died of other causes. So, and he's just trying to help them. So, in his own sick way.
He's trying to help himself because he's lonely.
Yeah.
But yes, he did want what was best for them. So when they're ready to come back to life, they were ready.
Which is complete bullshit, but still.
Yeah, I know. Footage released by police shows the body seated on shelves and sofas in small rooms full of books, papers, and general clutter. Anatoly was suspected of desecrating as many as 150 graves after police found numerous grave accessories such as metal nameplates removed from headstones.
So to keep them like trophies?
Probably.
Yeah.
Sidebar, when I was a kid, you know, we used to go to the cemetery all the time to visit my my dad's mom, my grandmother's grave.
Yes.
Excuse me. Various relatives. We went to two separate graveyards. All the time when I was a kid. So my dad and I would walk around and he would take me to the mausoleums. Mm-hmm. And the one building you can go inside and you can look at all of them and whatever. And he'd be like, oh, there's dead people in there. Well, there was some on the outside that you could walk around and you could put like the flowers and the things. So when I was a kid, I picked up some stuff that was like blowing around, like flowers and like, you know, teddy bears, like random shit.
Yeah.
And my father saw me do this and he saw me. He was like, where'd you get that from? And I was like, oh, I found it over there on the grass. And he was like, you better put it back or they're going to come home with us. Scared the living shit out of me.
I'm sure.
I threw all of them away and thought that the ghosts were going to follow me.
Yeah. Did they?
No. Well, but they follow my dad, so that's what he gets.
That's right. That's what he gets.
Police also discovered instructions for making the dolls, maps of cemeteries in the region, and a collection of photographs and videos depicting open graves and disinterred bodies. But none of this evidence could be conclusively connected to any of the bodies found in the apartment. According to the investigation, the bodies primarily came from cemeteries in the region, though some may have come from as far away as Moscow. Anatoly actively cooperated with investigators and claimed he made the dolls over the course of 10 years.
See, 10 years, that's way too long.
I know, that nobody realized what he was doing. His parents...
I was just about to ask you. How did the parents not know?
His parents, who were away for large portions of the year, were unaware of his activities. I've got more at the end about them.
Yeah, no, they weren't.
Anatoly was charged under Article 244 of the Criminal Code for the desecration of graves and dead bodies, a charge which carried up to 5 years in prison. After a psychiatric evaluation, it was determined that he suffered from a form of paranoid schizophrenia. In a hearing on May 25th, 2012, the Leninsky District Court of Nizhny Novgorod deemed Anatoly unfit to stand trial, releasing him from criminal liability. He was instead sentenced to coercive medical measures. The prosecution was satisfied with the decision and did not appeal the verdict. Anatoly was removed to a psychiatric clinic with his stay to be reviewed regularly. In February 2013, a hearing approved an extension of his psychiatric treatment. Anatoly's treatment was again extended to April 2014 and yet again in July 2015. In 2014, a spokesman stated, after 3 years of monitoring him in a psychiatric clinic, it is absolutely clear that Anatoly is not mentally fit for trial. He will therefore be kept for psychiatric treatment at the clinic. In September 2018, Anatoly's doctor stated that he was no longer dangerous and petitioned the Leninsky District Court to release him for outpatient care from home.
Oh.
However, in February 2019, a subsequent psychiatric evaluation found that it was too early to release him.
I'd say.
And the hospital withdrew their petition.
Okay.
Anatoly's parents now live in isolation, as they are ostracized by their community. Apparently, his mother suggested that her and Anatoly's father kill themselves.
Oh.
But the father refused. Yeah, that's weird.
That's horrible.
I know. Anatoly apparently told police not to rebury the girls too deep, as he will just dig them up again.
No, he did not.
He did. He said that. I also read in another article that he has a girlfriend now, and that's why he wants to get out of jail so that he can be with his girlfriend.
Oh, that's nice.
Maybe she'll make him some children.
So, like, this whole thing is, like, apparently appealing to some woman that he never was attractive before, but now he's got, like, some sort of notoriety, I guess.
Yeah, you know, women love crazy men.
That's true. So,
trust me, been there, done that.
Question for you that you did not address. I don't think you addressed. Maybe you did.
Yeah.
All the dolls were women.
From what I've read, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so, they never talked about any male dolls. They were all girls.
Because he wanted a daughter.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Apparently, that's where it stemmed from.
And I understand the whole parents were gone a long periods of time, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
How did anybody not smell that?
Well, if he mummified them a decent way, he could have cut down the decaying process. Or, depending on how old the bodies were, they don't say how long these kids were buried for. It's not like we don't know if they were freshly buried, if they'd been there for 150 years.
Right.
So depending on when he dug them up, they could have already been past that, like, really terrible decomposition stage. And then he mummified them specifically to cut down on that kind of stuff.
I still can't imagine that.
He's a smart dude. He was a smart dude.
And that's the shame of it all, really, is that that's a lot of wasted, like, potential.
Yep. And a lot of the people so when he was teaching college studies and all this stuff that he was doing,
right,
he had lots of colleagues that worked with him on different things.
Yeah.
And, you know, they thought that he was very intelligent, blah, blah, blah. When all this stuff happened, they all were like, peace.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to be associated with him.
Yeah.
Because he took it to such an extreme.
It's sad that he could not have gotten this under control before it actually started.
Usually when somebody is paranoid, schizophrenic, something happens and it gets diagnosed and they get the help they need.
Right.
And then they can go on to be normal, productive members of society. Right. Instead, I guess people weren't really paying attention. Maybe they just thought he was eccentric and, that's just Anatoly.
Right. It's just.
And then next thing you know, they're finding dead bodies.
It's just.
Everywhere.
It's a shame that it had to get to that point that.
Yeah.
That nobody saw any sort of red flags or anything like that.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
Were they able to locate all of the children, all of the victims or whatever? Were they able to rebury them all? Were they able to identify them all?
Oh, I just want to point out.
Yeah.
His parents thought that he collected dolls. Which, in the beginning of my story, he apparently did. So they just assumed that all these dolls that popped up were just, you know, part of his collection.
You also don't want to think there's something wrong with your kid.
Of course.
Like, if you're a parent, you want to.
Right.
Sometimes you ignore things that are right in your face.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I know plenty of parents that have done that.
Right.
I'm assuming they tried to find out who these girls were.
Yeah.
And rebury them and notify their parents. But, I mean, it might have been very difficult to identify them depending on what he did to them and at what stage they were decomposed. And I don't know how. I guess they have similar technology, like, to identify teeth and DNA stuff. Yeah, DNA and stuff like
that. Hopefully they found
it. None of the articles that I read talked about what happened afterwards. But, you know, I mean, he said, don't bury him too deep because I'm going to find him.
And it sounded like he was pretty cooperative with the police. Yeah. So maybe if he knew who they all were.
He might have.
Then he probably would have told them.
Yeah. So I found an article on a UK site called Mirror that was titled "Body Snatcher Dug Up My Murdered Daughter and Turned Her Into a Doll." And this is one of the ones that if you Google him and look him up, that you'll see like the picture of the little girl next to the doll.
Yeah.
I saw this a lot in the different things that I read on him. But it says on here, following his arrest, the grave robber told the parents of his victim accusingly, "You abandoned your girls in the cold, and I brought them home and warmed them up."
Ooh.
For Natalie Chardalmova, 42, each new macabre report about Moskvin, arrested in 2011, is like a hammer blow because her own daughter, Olga, was among the 26 he secretly dug up and dressed her as a doll and kept her at home. Olga had been horrifically murdered at age 10.
Yikes.
The first time she was allowed to walk alone from the family flat to her granny's apartment in the next block after her parents went to work. "I'm 10 already. I can go by myself," she pleaded. Her mother relented and she went out with her favorite green bag and blue umbrella, never to be seen alive again.
Oh my God.
Unseen, a drug addict waited in the lobby of her block, had forced her back up to the top floor, and robbed her of her earnings. And because she tried to escape, cracked her over the head with a metal bar. Despite searches for her body, Olga's remains with the umbrella and bag were not found for 5 months, wedged behind pipes in the block's attic.
Oh my God.
"We buried her on October 2nd, 2002. I could never imagine that almost exactly 10 years later, on October 5th, 2012, I would open her grave with the police and find her remains had vanished. Her coffin was empty with a hole at the top from which he pulled the remains." You can't begin to imagine that somebody would touch the grave of your child, the most holy place in this world for you. "We had been visiting the grave of our child for 9 years, and we had no idea it was empty. Instead, she was in that beast's apartment." On May 7, 2003, Natalie and husband Igor started painting a small metal fence they had erected around the grave. The next day, they came back to finish and felt someone had been there. So that means 8 months she had been buried. Wow. When he disturbed her grave. A wreath had been moved and a torment began lasting 9 years. The same month they found a note signed with two letters, DA, standing for Dobry Angel or Kind Angel, how Moskvin thought of himself. So apparently he left them a note and signed it. "We shivered with fear each time we went to the grave, not knowing what to expect," she said. "These sick anonymous notes were addressed to my daughter, calling her little lady." He congratulated her on all the public holidays. He remembered about September 1st each year, which was the first day of school, and the last school bell in May. He counted carefully which school grade she was about to enter, as if she was still alive. "For example, happy last month of your sixth year at school. Imagine what it was like for us, her grieving parents, reading these notes about our murdered daughter." That's awful.
That's really terrible.
Yeah.
That's really terrible.
"Sometimes they apparently found soft toys at her grave, which were stolen from other plots. And on January 1st, he always put New Year decorations on the grave. In one note, he threatened the parents, 'If you don't erect a great monument, which she deserves, we will dig her body out.' The couple erected a headstone in June of 2003, and he penned messages on it before taking an axe to it."
Even though she was already out of there.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But they didn't know who he was or that he had already removed her body, of course.
Of course.
The strain drove them apart and they separated.
I can imagine.
Yeah. "I still find it very hard to grasp the scale of his sickening work, but for 9 years, he was living with my mummified daughter in his bedroom. I had her for 10 years. He had her for 9.
Yeah, wow.
So that's the story about the mummified dolls that Anatoly kept as a collection. So did you like that story?
Not one bit.
And since we missed a couple episodes due to you.
Not due to me, due to circumstances.
Stupid election.
It was not a stupid election.
It wasn't a stupid election, but it was stupid that it kept you away from your family.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So we had gotten another listener story after we did our listener story for Spooktober.
Right.
And now we're almost not December. But, so this one comes from my friend Jamie. And I'm going to give it to Jimmy to read. So this is just part of our Spooktober listener stories.
Hello, my favorite family. This is Jamie, and I have my own story to tell. I can't remember the exact age, but I was either 9 or 10 at the time. I was at a New Year's Eve party at my aunt's house, and one of the many things I loved doing was hanging out with my older cousin, Jen. Jen had 3 or 4 friends come over for the party as we were having a sleepover once the party was over. Over the course of the night, we did the typical girly things preteens did in the 90s. Styled each other's hair, painted our nails, did face masks, you get the picture. Mind you, these girls were 13 to 14 years old. Probably around 10 p.m., Jen brought out a Ouija board. Oh, no. Ma. Jen brought out a Ouija board and a small box of crystals. She instructed us to each hold a crystal and feel the vibrations. Mine, of course, was amethyst. I could feel the vibration, but me being a kid didn't know better or think of it. I thought this was just a game. Oh, it's a game, all right.
A very dark game.
We placed the crystals back in the box and sat around the Ouija board, holding hands and saying some type of enchantment. Along the lines of only wanting good spirits in and bad spirits not to enter our space. Jen then asked us to ask the spirit a question. I don't remember anyone's, and mine was about Princess Diana, and asked if she was happy where she was. Again, I was a child and didn't really know what we were doing. I was playing along. Once we asked our questions, we placed our hands on the planchette and waited for it to move. When it moved, we asked the basic questions. Is there someone with us? Yes. Are you a man or a woman? Girl. Are you good? Yes. Do you know anyone in the room? Yes. So we asked it to spell its name. It spelled out the name Alex. I didn't think anything of it until I started getting this weird feeling. I can't remember the rest of what happened after that, but the feeling wouldn't go away, and I changed my mind about staying the night. I went home with my dad and fell asleep with this weird feeling still. Oh, she didn't stay for stiff as a board, light as a feather.
No, she did not.
In my room was a door that had a mirror on it. The door led to the attic, a place that always gave me the creeps when growing up. And something about that door that night didn't sit right with me. When I was finally drifting off to sleep, I felt this cool breeze wash over me and breathing in my ear.
Ugh.
Kind of like someone had climbed onto my back and was leaning down to speak. No, thank you. I kept swatting at the air and saying, "Get away from me." I begged my dad to please let me sleep in the bed until I felt safe. He let me and the breathing stopped. I woke up the next morning exhausted and totally freaked out. My dad never mentioned it to me and I never mentioned it to him. I later went into the bathroom, and when I was done, I looked into the mirror and looked at my reflection. The name Alex came rushing back to me, and chills ran down my spine. Something that I always remember is I had an imaginary friend who lived in the mirror. My reflection was my imaginary friend. Her name was Alex. Just gonna pause there for a second.
Don't look at me.
Freaked out, I begged my mom to take me back to my aunt's house to talk to Jen. The response she gave me was, "It was all fake, Jamie. Nothing I said was real. It was just to scare you and everyone." So when I asked her about how she knew Alex and how she knew that she would know someone in the room, Jen gave me the same responses. I left the conversation there and never brought it up again. After that encounter with a Ouija board, I never wanted to touch it again. One thing I do know now that I'm older and retelling this story, I never saw Alex or felt her presence again after that night. So now my question is, was she a real spirit this whole time and somehow channeled to my cousin without her knowledge to be released?
Yeah, imaginary friends are creepy as shit. I hope Chet never has one. I know, so you had one.
When I was a kid, I had an imaginary friend, and her name was Holly.
I've heard about her.
I do not remember this. Okay, so like, I can't give you like any...
I don't think most kids do.
I can't give you like any like real anecdotes about it, except that my mom was super freaked out about it because she said that I would tell her things that my imaginary friend told me that I was not anywhere in the room for. So it was like she would have a conversation with my dad or someone.
Yeah.
And nobody else in that room.
Yeah.
But somehow.
You knew about it.
I knew about it and would tell her that my imaginary friend told me that. And I mean, like I said, I don't have any explanation for it except that I had an imaginary friend named Holly.
But he has them.
Do not look imaginary.
And
friends.
Even people like me who don't remember, I probably had them too. I mean,
they say that
kids are more
like
sensitive to that.
I think it's like a thing that all kids have. Like, I think.
Because I think all kids can see dead people.
I don't know.
And they're
if
more
it's
sensitive
that.
To that.
I mean, maybe, but I think it's more like your imagination when you're a kid. You don't know how to control it. You're just.
But
like,
how do you know those things then?
How did I know those things?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Exactly. And most of the time when they have imaginary friends, weird stuff like that happens.
Yeah, that's, I'm not looking
where they know
to that.
Things or they say it's so-and-so that they've never met before, like identify
not
pictures.
Not looking forward to that at all.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah. I think it was like when my mom and dad would have like an argument or something like that. And then I would like be like the next day, like, why were you arguing last night or whatever? And
yeah.
Be like, you couldn't possibly know that.
You want to have your mom one here so she can tell about your imagination?
Yeah, we should actually. That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, we had your dad on here, so.
Yeah.
We should have my mom on here and she can tell stories about my imaginary friend.
Yeah. Well, that's it for tonight's episode. So we covered a wide range of things.
We did.
Mummified dolls. Imaginary friends.
Schizophrenia. Ouija boards.
Me wanting to kill Jimmy sometimes.
All the time?
No, not all the time. Just sometimes.
Yes.
So what's tonight's episode brought to you by?
This week's episode brought to you by Build-A-Bear Workshop. The most fun you'll ever make.
Thanks for stopping by.
We'll see you in this life or the next one.
Remember this one? Excuse me, I need to spread out.
You remember this one?
I do.